We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. The last couple of times we've been talking about our responsibilities and our opportunities as a dad. The last session we finished up by talking about a little book entitled The Giving Tree and how that we as dads, yes, we're constantly giving, but that's the opportunity that we have. That's the joy that we have. And we need to be the encourager in the family. And making the big issues to them, big issues to us. And allowing them to see that whatever bothers them, bothers us. I'll never forget my youngest son who had a dog named Fluffy. And David loved that dog and spent all of his time together with that dog. And then David began to grow up and began to be involved in sports. But whenever he came home, boy, Fluffy was right there for him and with him. Sat in the room, did homework with him. But when Fluffy got to the point that he wasn't able to stay alive without major issues, and even that, there was no guarantee. David took his dog to the vet and was going to put him to sleep, but Fluffy died in his arms in the vet's office. Never forget, David and I going back to the backyard, and I dug a hole, and we had a box, and we buried Fluffy. And I cried, and David was crying. Little did I realize until 10 years later at my 50th birthday how much those tears meant to David, because he was telling everybody about his dad, and he said, 10 years ago, my dog died. And this is the way he responded. This was his heart for me. I had no clue. And you know, dads, we do not have a clue. But whatever the big things are to them, make them the big things for you. And always be the encourager. Never yell a critical remark to your child when you're in public. So many times I would be at ball games and I would hear dads yelling at their son or their daughter, wake up, you know, and mention their name, yell during a basketball game or something. How humiliating that could be. We need to be the encourager. In fact, it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, they that love death or life will eat the fruit of death or life because of the power of our tongue. You know, the tongue has the power to destroy or to delight. And many times we as parents flip out destructive words and we're just not even aware of it. Words of shame and name calling and words like you never or you always. You know, dads, we need to deal with our anger first. And then with the problem at hand. Yes, we need to let the child suffer the consequences of his irresponsibility and instruct him concerning the future, but never ruin his acceptance of himself over the entire issue. Because if he perceives that he is not accepted because of the issue, you will wound his spirit. Rejection. So many times that's perceived by just time or the lack of time. In fact, a popular song was written numbers of years ago entitled Cats in the Cradle, and it talked about the devastating high cost of misplaced time priorities. He said, my child arrived just the other day, came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. When you coming home, Dad? Well, I don't know when. But when we do, I'll get together, son. You know, we'll have a good time then. Well, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away. But his smile never dimmed, and he said, I'm going to be just like him. Yeah, I'm going to be just like him. Well, he came home from college just the other day, so much like a man that I just had to say, son, can we sit for a while? He shook his head and said, Dad, well, Dad, I really can't. What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? When are you coming home, son? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll have a good time then. Well, I've long since retired, my son's moved away, and I called him up just the other day, and I said, I'd sure like to see you if you don't mind. He said, Dad, I'd love to, Dad, but if I can find the time. But you see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu, but it's sure been nice talking to you, Dad. It's been nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me that he had grown up to be just like me. My boy was just like me. Rejection. Yes, we can be guilty of allowing our children to be rejected because of the lack of investment of time. We need to be the encourager in the family. I've even heard dads tell their kids, God doesn't love you when you misbehave. God doesn't love you when you misbehave? Oh, my goodness. Or, I hate you. Get out of my sight. I'll be so glad when you're old enough to move out. I don't know why I ever had you. Those kinds of words are so destructive. The words of criticism. Always looking for something wrong, not something right. It's the white glove approach, you know? Walk into someone's room with a white glove on, looking for dust, looking for something that is wrong. I'm reminded of a seminar speaker with a white chart. And in the middle of the white chart, he had one black dot. And so he said to everybody in the seminar, what do you see? Well, everybody said, well, a black dot. And the seminar speaker said, well, why didn't somebody say a large white chart with a small black dot? You see, we're trained to see the dot. We're not trained to see everything that's white, but the one little thing that's black. Many times we make statements, foolish statements. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? Their nicknames, stupid, lazy, tank, moose, elephant ears, whatever. All of these are discouraging words. But we need to use words that engender encouragement. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health, Proverbs 12:18 says. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Wow. But the tongue of the wise is health. We need to have a constructive tongue. Now, that's hardest when we're provoked or when we're exhausted. But the Bible says we need to have words of grace. You remember Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And so we need to be men that will praise them any time we possibly can. We need to let them know we believe in them. I was reading the other day about Thomas Edison after he finished improving his first light bulb, and he handed it to a young assistant to carry upstairs. But on the way up, he dropped it, and the whole team had to work another 24 hours to make another one. When he completed that second one, Edison handed it to the same young assistant. And that gesture changed the young man's life, because he gave him a second chance. We need to be the encourager of our family. A courteous tongue, saying things like, I love you, I'm sorry. See, truth is not learned until it's lived. And then number 7, a father must regularly embrace his children. Isaiah 33:2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning. Isn't that interesting? Be thou their arm every morning. How does the Heavenly Father show his security to his children? The same way that we earthly fathers. A tender hug, a gentle pat on the back. Just if they're riding in the front seat of the car, resting my hand on his shoulder. And teaching your boys that hugging is for real men, not sissies. Fathers, don't communicate just love to your daughters. But communicate love to your sons and your daughters and let them know that it's okay to hug. In fact, my boys still today, when they see me, when they greet me, and when we leave, we still give each other a hug. See, dad's arms are security, while mom's arms are comforting, and children need both. Then lastly, to build a relationship of trust, a father must build it on God's word. On God's word. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4 and verse 1 through 4, David taught Solomon. He said, my father taught me also. This is the king of all Israel. But he was not too busy to teach David the words of wisdom. And that may be the reason that Solomon chose wisdom when he had a choice. See, parenting is discipleship, and you can only disciple your child where you personally have been with the Lord. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe you haven't been walking close with the Lord, and maybe you're not able to disciple your son in the same way. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Why don't you right now give him control of your life and trust him as your Savior? Never let anybody else take your God-given place to disciple your child, because your child is your opportunity to impact a life. So let's summarize what we've been talking about the last three times. Are your children hearing you verbalize your commitment to them? They should be. Every day of their lives, they ought to hear you verbalizing your commitment to them, to let them know you're glad they're a part of your family. You're glad that you are their dad and that you are there for them, on their side, not on their back. Number two, do you receive and accept invitations into their private world? If you don't receive invitations into their private world, it may be a clue to you that there's a wall that needs to be dismantled, and you need to find out what it is that's caused that wall and ask for forgiveness and cause them to be able to trust you because you love them. Then number three, do you continually break your promises to your children? Oh, how vitally important it is to keep our promises and to be men of integrity, to be able to say, Lord, I want to be a man who, when he gives his word to his son or to his children, I want to be a man that can be trusted. Your children would rather have time with you than money from you. Oh, I know they are usually saying, no, I need this and I need that. But if they have to make a choice between you spending that extra 10 or 20 hours at work or you spending an extra 10 or 20 hours at home, there's no question in their minds. They'll take the time at home, leave the money at work, give it to somebody else. They want time with you. And be honest with you, man, I've never known a man who said at the end of his life, during retirement years, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Nope, I've never heard it. Because when all is said and done, the changes that have taken place in the lives of our children are usually a result of the impact that we've had on their lives. And then number four, does your wrong view of failure discourage your children? A wrong view of failure. I trust that these thoughts have been a blessing and a help to you. Now, are there any conversations that need to take place today? Are there any confessions or asking for forgiveness? Because if there are, and if you do, this can be one of the greatest days in your life as a father and one of the greatest days in the lives of your children. Let's be men of God, and let's be fathers that our children are proud to introduce to all their friends. Until the next time, we pray that God will bless you in an awesome way.